Mark chapter 1, 40-43. A leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. I love the seminary, because they take all the fun out of really fun preaching. Oh, sure, there's still the rush of standing up and giving the sermon and delivering God's word to his people. But all the painstaking work of doing responsible exegesis, it's really not so fun. I mean, what would be so wrong with reading the lesson and having some really pietistic and philosophically wise thing to say, like, "We're all lepers before God"? Well, it's true to some degree, isn't it? I mean, without Jesus Christ, we would all be unclean before God, wouldn't we? The problem is that that's not what this text is talking about. So, okay, maybe we should look at the context and do a little exegesis. In this man's day, leprosy was an awful, incurable disease, and this man had it. Looking at this event in the context of Jesus' ministry, it forces us to admit that Jesus knew about leprosy and what an awful disease it was. Yet, Jesus didn't eliminate it from the face of the earth. No, the simple fact that the incarnate Son of God was walking on the earth did not mean that pain, suffering, disease had all left. No. In the middle of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, there appears a man who has leprosy. And this leper approached Jesus and knelt before him, begging, "If you will, you can make me clean." When was the last time that you begged for something from God? I remember it. It was about 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was teetering on the edge of a chair, my head underneath a pot rack. There I am, precariously balancing the pot rack upon my neck and shoulders, looking underneath for a better view, holding the other side of the pot rack, the bracket and the screw in one hand, and the drill in the other hand, pushing on the screw. None of it attached to the wall yet. There I am, holding all this together, trying to keep it all level, pushing. And all of a sudden, the chair begins to slip. It was then, under the strain, that I said quickly in my head, "Lord, if you will, you can reach down and save me." That was the prayer upon my lips and upon my heart as I began to wonder, as images flooded my mind of what would happen when this thing all came crashing down. Our sinful will, God's will. Do we truly want God's will? Would we be happy with God's will? Would we even recognize God's will? Is his will for us always our will for him? The answer to each of these questions is a resounding no. The prayer on my lips as I teetered on the edge of disaster was not the exact equivalent of "Thy will be done." No, I wanted very much not to fall and have several very heavy pieces of metal come pummeling down upon the ground with various bits of me between it all. Why are so many of you smiling at the thought of me in that situation? It scares me a little. No, The first thought was not God's will. I wanted very much my will. What do you think the man meant by, if you will, you could make me clean? Our sinful will does oppose God's will, his perfect will. When we get into trouble, when something bad happens to us, when a loved one falls ill, the last thing that we want is God's will. We don't want pain in our lives. We do want to be safe. We want to live and to be happy. We don't want loved ones to die. We want perfect 25-year-old bodies that don't grow old, deteriorate, and eventually die. Note carefully the way that our man in the text prays. If you will, you could heal me. How would Jesus have responded had the man's prayer been slightly different? Jesus, I want you to stop what you're doing. I want you to spit on the ground and make a salve with the mud. I want you to then take that salve, rub it over all the parts of my body that are diseased and ill, and then have me go down to the river and wash myself and cleanse me of this awful disease. If it be your will, amen. We must not be distracted by this man's outward behavior, so that we do not conclude that this text, is about how we get something from God. You know, if we're sincere enough, if we're pitiful enough, and if we're humble enough, if we kneel feet of our Savior, well, there's only one small problem with all of that. Where are the feet of Jesus located? So that we could get what we want. And what exactly is sincere enough, humble enough, and pitiful enough? Fortunately, this text is not a prescription for how to get what we want. And the glorious thing is that our intention doesn't matter. The beautiful thing that we learn from this text is how Jesus responds to the man's need. Moved with pity, he reaches down to the man and says, I will be clean. Oh, glorious epiphany. Regardless of the man's true intentions, Jesus reaches down to the unclean man and says, I will be clean. We may not be able to, with a one-to-one correspondence, be able to figure out how we should relate to God from this text. But we do learn with certainty how our God relates to an unclean man, to a leper cast out by his family, his community, and even from public worship. To him, he reaches into his life and says, I will be clean. The epiphany is the gracious and compassionate will of God for us fallen men. Jesus has pity and restores him according to his own will for that man. He restores him to health, and in so doing restores him to his family, his friends, his community, and even to worship. This is the God revealed in our text, a God who restores those who are separated from him and his people, whose will is ever and only for their good. On that particular day, Jesus willed to heal that particular leper. What is his will for us today? God continues to will our restoration and our good. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 5:10. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. What a gospel and what a text! We have a God that would reach down and restore the unclean, This is the will of God. Listen again to what Jesus says in the prayer that he gave us in the third petition. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're good Lutherans. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will. What does this mean for the poor guy teetering precariously between the pot rack, the chair, and the floor? The lightning prayer, if you will, you could save me, flashed through my mind faster than I could ever speak it. And unfortunately, I have to say I've used this prayer more times than I can count. Regardless of what I meant by it, regardless of exactly how I thought God should save me at that time, God, in his mercy and pity, did save me. But he did it in his usual Lutheran-like fashion, by means. Just then, my wife rounded the corner. And not only did she steady my chair, and also inform me lovingly of my poor decision-making for trying to do this myself, she also saved me from much impending pain. You see, she too is a gift and answered prayer from God. Perhaps the courses here are also part of God's good and gracious will for us. Though challenging and difficult, the lessons learned here can make the difference between a pietistic prescription and a glorious gospel. They can save us from so completely missing the point of the text that we're all lepers, and if we ask for something just right, and if we have enough faith, we can actually get God to do what we want. And instead, we have a text that gives us an epiphany day, proclaiming the message of Jesus, full of pity, reaching down to fallen man, willing ever and only his greatest good. It changes a pseudo-good news that's dependent upon us to real good news made certain in Christ Jesus. And this is the glorious and thrilling thing that I get to proclaim to you. Amen.